Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we will focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Ampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 8. Before we start, we'd like to say how grateful we are to all of you who listen to this podcast and share your feedback with us. Your kind words really inspire us to keep going with our podcast. Today, we would like to share feedback from our listener, Verena. She posted this comment on our website. I really enjoyed your first episode. There are quite a few podcasts I try to follow, but I really liked your fresh ideas and tips, especially the wish list and the way you presented it. This podcast will go straight to my favorites.
Thanks, Verena, for sharing your feedback with us. And thanks to all of our listeners for sharing our podcast with other translators.
So now let's get to the topic of this episode. As the end of the year is approaching, you hear more and more people talk about reviewing how your year went and setting goals for the new year. We thought that it's only natural to talk about it as well, and we'll do that today. And as usual, look at this from the perspective of work-life clarity and your own personal priorities. If you're new to our podcast, check out our first episode called Work-Life Clarity. We'll put the link in our show notes. So this time of year can be very hectic. It certainly is right now for both of us. Whether your whole year was stressful for some reason or just the end of the year, it can be tempting to say, I just want to be done with it, turn the page and start the new year without looking back. And honestly, that's what I used to do in the past. But it's really important to find time to look back on what happened during the year that ended in order to plan for the new year and make it better. What are your thoughts on the benefits of doing this, Madalena? Have you been doing it for a long time yourself?
You mean on looking back at the year?
Yes, reviewing how your year went.
Yeah. Yes, I try to do this at the end of every year, but the problem has been, and it happens to be this year as well, that I see the days going by. And if you're listening to this, of course, it's New Year's Eve or right after New Year's Eve, if you're catching our episode, you know, a few days late after it has come out. And as Veronica said, the end of the year is approaching. So we're recording this prior to that date. But I see the dates going by on the calendar and going, when am I going to make time to do this? Oh, I just have to get through this week. And then next week when everybody else is on vacation for the holiday, then I'll take a look or then I'll have time to do this. So yeah, I try to do it. I think it's really important to do and to make time to do, but I think that, and we'll probably talk about this more in a moment, but scheduling this time to do it is probably one of the biggest factors in doing this well.
Yes, definitely. I've only been practicing this habit for the last 2 or 3 years. And it's really hard to find time for this now that I have little kids. I generally do it either between Christmas and New Year's Eve, so late in December or right on the first days of January. I remember when I first saw this idea somewhere online and I was inspired to start planning for the new year, that person used a large square chart, which was divided in 9 smaller squares of different colors, and they were special colors for different areas in your life. And so each square represented a specific area. There was one for finances, one for success, for relationships, for health, for kids and creativity, personal development, career, and travel. And in the middle of that chart, there was a single square where you were supposed to write your most important wish for the year. And I found it so interesting. I was so inspired that I started working on my own right away. And then next year, I reviewed it and created a new one. So that was a fun process. And basically, since then, I've been doing that.
Oh, I like that. I have done this probably in list form, but I can see how the visual of having the different squares would be really beneficial. I'm a very visual person, so when I can see something laid out, or if I can see it in my head, then I actually need to write it out or draw it out and, you know, kind of look at it in a visual format. So I can totally see how looking at it that way would be really helpful.
Yeah,
I would be interested too in knowing what the squares all were. I know you mentioned a few of them, but I think that's really handy. So I don't know if that's something we can link to in the show notes.
Yes, I don't know if we'll either link to it if I can find the webpage online. Mm-hmm. I feel like it may have been on Pinterest or Instagram or somewhere. Oh, okay. If not, we can share. I'll try to share the picture maybe on Instagram.
Or something similar. Sure.
Yes, they were... I like that the squares were a smaller size too. They were maybe the size of a post-it note, so you couldn't you couldn't possibly write too much on one square. So really had to be focused, you know.
I was expecting something much larger. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
No, that's a good thing because you're right. And I'm one of those people that can take on way too much, and I know that you can easily do that too. We all can. But it's nice when you have a limitation. One thing when you were talking about this that it made me think of, though, is that, you know, we do have many different areas of our life that are important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the number might not be 9, it might be 12, it might be, well, whatever makes, you know, a square, that's a 3x3, right? 9.
Yeah.
Could be 4x4, you know, 16 squares. But anyway, the point being that I think a lot of these things in our lives probably overlap. And that sort of goes back to our discussion with work-life clarity and also our last episode, number 7, about the guilt that we can sometimes feel when our work overlaps into our family time.
Right.
You know? Yes. And so I think that compartmentalizing it in this way is probably really helpful, but it's also good to see where certain things do overlap. And maybe they can be combined or simplified in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I can see definitely when looking at a chart like this where you'd be like, oh, are they all supposed to have equal percentage of my attention or, you know, and that's not necessarily true. It can't possibly happen with all of the commitments we all have and things we have to do. So you kind of have to, whatever advice you're taking on how to plan this, you have to take it with a grain of salt and also adapt it to your own personal situation and your own priorities. Yeah.
Right. And even doing this in a way with, you know, to list out what the priorities are for those different areas would be really helpful, I think, for most people. I know I would find that helpful to do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So there are so many different ways to plan your new year and to review how your year went. You could do it on paper in a special planner or on post-it notes or in, you know, just a nice notepad. You could do it digitally. You could use an online sort of software or tool. You could do a vision board. And by the way, I am a big fan of those too. I used to do them quite often in the past. Or you could do a SWOT analysis, like strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And there's just so many options. And one way of reviewing your year and planning for the next one is doing a business retreat. And in fact, you can do it not just once a year, but twice a year or quarterly if you'd like.
Yeah. And that's why today we'll be talking about one smart habit in particular, which is planning and implementing your own freelance business retreat. So I had heard about this concept of doing a freelance business retreat when I attended the ACES conference a couple of years ago. ACES is the Society for Editing, for anybody that doesn't know. And a couple of years ago, it was in Chicago. And when I went there, I heard one of the speakers, another freelancer, she's a freelance writer and editor based in Maryland. Her name is Melanie Paget Powers. And you may have heard us mention her here on the podcast before. She also hosts the podcast, The Deliberate Freelancer. And I heard her speak at the conference about holding a business retreat. In fact, she did an entire episode about how to hold your own solo business retreat, which we can link to as well in the show notes for this episode. So Veronica and I got to talking about this concept of a freelance business retreat, and I had done my own sort of business retreat about a year ago, but I kept it really simple. I took an entire day and I planned for my business. I didn't travel anywhere, but I did treat myself to a really nice lunch. And I put my head down. I got to work and assessing and planning my business. So we decided that this year we would both really like the idea of having a business retreat, and we wanted to do it together because, you know, two minds are often better than one. And also, it's just a lot easier sometimes to give someone else ideas for their business than to come up for with ideas for your own business.
So true.
Yeah. And so since the American Translators Association annual conference was coming up in Palm Springs this year, we decided to just book our tickets to meet a few days before the conference and hold our retreat nearby.
Yes, I remember you sharing that Deliberate Freelancer episode with me, and the timing was so right because I was just thinking at the time how hard it is as a parent to find time to review and set your goals and sort of be strategic about what you do. Most days it's hard to concentrate on the task at hand. So I was thinking, how on earth would you manage to set aside a couple of hours to just strategize? And so I was wondering if we could do a business retreat for translator moms. And I remember emailing you and asking, is this a totally crazy idea? And I was very relieved that you were on board and we could do it together.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I always try to hold some type of, you know, reflection time for my business and also just for personal things, you know, planning for the future and so forth. But in general, I loved this idea. And also, it's just a crazy time of year. Every fall is like that for me.
Yeah.
So I was really excited for that. And I know that a lot of people who are colleagues of ours and also listeners to this podcast, they could use this type of information as well. So yeah, I remember when you emailed and said, is this just a crazy idea? And I said, of course not. This is a great idea. So anyway, you may be wondering what a business retreat is. It's basically a time for you to turn off your email, get away from your desk and your client work, and to really focus on how you want to steer your business in the coming 6 months or a year, or even a five-year plan. It's a great way to focus on strategy and planning for the future. And it's also a time when you can assess what went well this year and what could have been better, what you may have enjoyed in your business, and what you might like to let go of. So since the year is coming to a close, and today is December 31st, when you'll be hearing this episode, or maybe a few days afterwards. And since we both had a lot of new things happen with our businesses in the past couple of years, we decided that having a business retreat together would be a great way to bounce ideas off of each other. Now, we did our business retreat in October, but you can easily do this at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. It's something you can do at any time that you feel you actually need to kind of hit the reset button. So we talked and we laid out our goals ahead of time for our retreat. For example, we knew we wanted to each plan for our own businesses and get feedback from the other person. And we also wanted to talk about this podcast, where we see it going, what we'd like to do with it in the future, and what conversations we feel would be valuable to have with other freelancers through this platform.
Yes, and I think we both did pretty well on achieving these goals. Aside from the fact that it was just really fun and refreshing and inspiring to be in another location, removed from the usual routine, it was also wonderful to do this together. Sometimes you're so busy, you don't see the forest for the trees, and just having that time and space to reflect together was amazing. And so was hearing each other's perspectives. I remember many years ago when I had a corporate job, we did those team building retreats or strategy retreats with a team I worked in. And it was a similar experience in a way, even though we weren't freelancers or small business owners. We worked for the same big company, but just being removed from the usual working environment and having some fun together and talking through these things together was always a very rewarding experience. So how do you plan your business retreat and make sure that it's a productive use of your time? We thought we'd share what worked for us so that you could plan and implement your own retreat.
Right. So the first thing is to set goals and expectations. First, do you want to do the retreat alone or with a colleague or maybe several colleagues? We extended this invitation to our translator moms group, but since we all share common challenges and perspectives, for practical reasons, many of them couldn't make it. So Veronica and I held this retreat, just the two of us. But we met with many of them at dinner before the conference and during one of the coffee breaks. So we definitely got to get together and talk to one another and sort of just take some time away from our computers together.
Yeah, I think that it's worth exploring the option of doing the retreat with someone you know, either with one colleague or several colleagues. It's just a really fun experience. So another thing we talked about right away was where we would do the retreat and for how long. We both thought that it would be great to meet in person and do it together. And in order to limit traveling throughout the year, it was best to combine the retreat with our trip to Palm Springs for the ATA conference. We wanted to have at least one full day for the business retreat itself. So we planned for two nights at a nice spa hotel so that we could also have a chance to relax and recharge.
Yes, and it was wonderful to have a chance to relax and to pamper ourselves as well. So that's another thing you need to decide early on. Are you doing just the business retreat, or are you also including time for some relaxation and fun? It may be hard at first if you're thinking about, like, how can I afford this? So not just in terms of money, but maybe also in terms of time. So you could explore other options. You could plan long-term and budget for this throughout the year. So maybe every month you, put a little bit of money aside for your annual business retreat so that you can definitely treat yourself to something, different and, get out of the usual everyday space that you work in and enjoy some time away or a nice meal somewhere. You could do it somewhere locally so you don't have to pay for a hotel and airfare. You could rent an apartment or a house with several friends or colleagues, and that could be, cheaper than paying for a hotel room. You could just stay in your town and do it at a co-working office, a library, a local chamber of commerce, or even a nice park. You could do it at your house, of course, but, just in general, keep it in a different room than where you normally do your work so that you are able to really mentally sort of detach from the everyday working of in your business so that you're able to work on your business.
Right. And I liked your idea of if you're just doing the retreat alone, you could just go to a nice cafe or restaurant and treat yourself to a special meal and just use that time to review your year and plan the next one. There are so many options. One of the things I enjoyed the most at the location where we stayed was the park or the property outside of our hotel. It was just very green and it was very nice being outside, far away from the daily hustle, and the whole area was very peaceful. So the next obvious step is to set the date and put the time in your calendar. And that way you have a date to look forward to, as well as a deadline when it comes to getting ready for your retreat. If you need to book the location for your meeting, book your airplane tickets or your hotel, I suggest doing it right away as well. For our retreat, I searched for various meeting room rentals in that area and for spa hotels, since we wanted to do that. And then I checked their websites, read the reviews, and called a couple of them. Within a week, I think, we had our hotel booked. And then I booked my flights, and we even booked our spa treatments right away. Within a couple of days after that, we had everything in place, and that just felt amazing. I felt like I had a mini vacation planned, and that thought kept me going on the busiest and craziest days leading up to the trip.
Definitely. Yeah, it was really something to look forward to. And I don't know that every year I would be able to do that, but I think as long as I can afford to, I should do it. And I think that, we haven't talked about this yet, but hey, in 2020, we should plan another one.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So next, when all the logistics are in place, it's time to think about the actual content of your retreat. Think, or even better, you could write down what topics you want to cover. What do you want to achieve during the time you have available? And here's what I wanted to talk about during our retreat, just to give you an idea. I chose to rate and rank what I do in my business that brings in money. For example, what clients did I work with in this past year that, you know, I made a decent income from? What types of projects did I do that made maybe more money than others, and did I enjoy those projects? Which services I offer that also produced income, and which ones more than others? Also, identify a primary goal. So, for example, what am I trying to do and who am I trying to reach? What are you trying to do in your business is the question you would ask yourself. And who are you trying to reach by doing this? And what type of work do you want to do? Sometimes that's not the same as what you're already doing. And then create a statement that's based on the answers to these questions. Like we said in the Deliberate Freelancer podcast, if you listen to the episode on the Solo Business Retreat, which we can link to in our show notes, Melanie suggests asking yourself questions like these and coming up with answers such as these to really spell out what you want to do and who you want to serve. And then ask yourself what your vision is for next year. You could create a statement, and that's something that she suggests as well, that serves as a reminder to you. So this vision or statement would be something that you could look at throughout the year just to make sure you're staying on track with the types of projects or work you're taking on. And again, that goes back to your work-life clarity and priorities. That will help you to form your vision. And it's something that will just, you know, be a reminder to you to pay attention to that if you're taking on too much or you're taking on something that doesn't fit into your priorities, this could be a good way to, you know, pull you back down from that.
Yeah, and I really like the idea of creating a vision for next year. And for the last couple of years, I've tried to think if I could describe how I want to feel next year in one word, what would that word be, you know? And like 1 year it was focus, and maybe another year it was calm because the year before was really stressful for some reason. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I feel calm and everything is fine and everyone's feeling like not as stressed in my family maybe. Right. And then I remember another year was network, because it was important for me to just grow my network locally since it was a new place where we moved, and maybe also in work-wise and my in professional area of my life. So I really like the idea with a one word statement or vision. It could be a sentence or a phrase. Mm-hmm. So as for my goals for our retreat, I had somewhat similar goals. I wanted to review what worked well for me and my business this year. What did I do differently compared to the year before? And what didn't work for me at all? And I looked at areas such as time management, productivity, types of clients I worked with, types of services I offered, how I did my marketing, and so on. I also wanted to look at what types of services do I want to focus on next year, and how I should distribute my time and prioritize in that regard. Because I feel that oftentimes without even realizing, you do more work or more variety of work and projects than you maybe had planned for. Mm-hmm. And then it's a good idea to sit down and look back and think, well, did I enjoy it? Did it build up my maybe confidence or competence in that area? Do I want to market those types of services more actively in the next year? Or is it something I didn't enjoy at all?
Yes, that's important. Yeah. Another common item on our list was to make a list of tasks we dislike or that we don't have time for, things that seem like they're wasting our time, things that we could outsource, delegate, or even just cross off our list. And that could be, you know, both in your business and your personal life. One thing that I crossed off my list and I delegated, I guess you could say, last year, I kicked myself afterwards going, why didn't I do this earlier? I actually hired a housekeeper that comes every 2 weeks. And I used to think, like, I don't need a housekeeper. My house is not that big. We're very minimalist in many ways compared to most people. I don't need this. But honestly, I was like, why did I not do this earlier? Because I don't have to worry about, you know, taking care of certain things around the house that I know need to be done. And I need to be working on my business instead. Or if I'm working on that, then I'm not working in my business. And so there's that feeling of like that guilt that we talked about in the last episode as well. So that was something in my personal life that actually really benefited my business, because all the time that I would be, you know, cleaning every week or doing certain things every week, or even if it were on the weekends, I can spend that time with my family. I don't have to take that time out of my business.
Right.
So, yeah. But that's just an example. So we also talked about our peak productivity hours and what type of tasks we do best in the morning and in the evening. This is something that I think probably changes from maybe one year to the next or one season to the next for various reasons. You know, if you have small children, obviously you're going to have different productivity hours than other people who don't have small children. Or if you are somebody who works better at night, then your peak productivity hours are not going to be early in the morning, and vice versa for somebody else. So this is something I think we should probably all assess fairly frequently. Mm. And it's something that even since October, when we did this retreat, I feel like I should reassess this again.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I feel the same way. I felt like there were moments this year where I thought, oh, I'm at my most creative in the evening. And that was true then, but it's not true right now when I'm feeling very tired. And if there's something creative that I have to do, like maybe write something or create something visual, I prefer to do it in the morning when I'm still fresh and focused. Mm-hmm. So it definitely changes throughout the year. On a practical note, before our retreat, we also talked about what kind of tools or resources or equipment we would need for our meeting. So we brought with us our laptops so we could look things up and also maybe type up some notes if we needed. We brought a lot of post-it notes. You know, we love those. And we brought a big poster board on which we could write and make things visual and make it sort of easier for us to discuss things together and brainstorm. We brought some markers and some notepads and pens. And that way we were prepared to take notes and be efficient and make things visual. And it also felt sort of more fancy than writing things down on some random piece of paper that we found. Now, you could also use a special planner if you have the one that you like or you want to try. You could use a planner for this or even make it all digital and use a project management tool or a mind map. I hear those are really fun to work with.
So the next step would be to draft a schedule for your retreat. We talked about this early on together, and we made a rough outline for our days, including times for meals and breaks. We arrived to our spa hotel on a Monday. The Monday before the conference, and the conference was starting on Wednesday night, Thursday. And so we had a couple of days, and we arrived on Monday, and we just went ahead and the first thing we did after we checked in is we had our relaxing spa treatments and dinner. And then we had a photo session the next morning with a local photographer. So we planned this ahead of time, and I don't know that I would do this for every retreat, but I think it was good that we did this year because we both needed new headshots. I think that was probably your idea too. I can't remember. I think it was your idea. It was genius because we were able to book the photographer, get our pictures done at the same time. So it saved a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And also it saved on cost.
Right.
Because we got to work with her for
an hour? Okay. An hour and a half maybe.
Yeah, it felt like longer even. But it was great because we didn't have to book like two, you know, full hours or an hour each. It was wonderful. So I highly suggest doing that if you need new headshots. Split it with somebody, of course, if you're going to do a retreat with them. And then we had lunch and we prepared for our the business part of our retreat. We drove back to our hotel and then we spent 2 to 3 hours working together, followed by a nice dinner with the colleagues who we know from our Translator Moms group. So that was kind of in a nutshell how we did it, but you know, you could structure your retreat any way you like.
Yeah, that was you know, it was relaxing, but it was also such a busy and fun day. We did so many things in that day. And having up-to-date headshots is something that can be easy to forget about. I'm so glad that we used that opportunity of being out of town and also being together. And we booked that photo shoot with a local photographer, which was a great deal and super fun. I feel very awkward in front of camera, and I was a little nervous at first, but it really helped doing the photo shoot together because we could see how, you know, the other one was posing and maybe give some feedback and help out. And it was just much less stressful than your regular photo shoot, and definitely less stressful than if you've ever done family pictures with your kids. I usually have my kids like smearing my lipstick on my face and all of that. So definitely this one was very relaxing compared to that experience.
That's so funny. Yeah. So if you're doing the retreat with several people, you could decide on the logistics together. Do you want to take turns talking and giving each other feedback like we did? Or would you rather work on your own and then reconvene and brainstorm together? I know some people do it that way as well. Determine if you want to set a detailed agenda or not. Do you want to have a fixed list of questions that you each take turns answering?
Yes, there are so many options. You know, I used to work in human resources before, and I organized similar sort of exercises and retreats in the past. And I know you could even use various types of team building and strategy and brainstorming exercises. And if you need inspiration, there are a lot of resources online, and you could even check out if there are some good books on these topics at your local library. Shall we share what worked for us and what we would do differently next time?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So I would say for what worked for us, being away from home was useful because we have a lot of distractions at home. I think most people do. But anyway, being away from home was really useful. And also it just took us out of all of our usual work and personal commitments. So we could really focus on sort of decompressing. We relaxed first and then we worked. And I felt like my brain was more clear to make like certain decisions for, you know, the coming year and so on. Mm-hmm. But doing a retreat together and having someone to discuss things with, I thought was really helpful. You know, because oftentimes if you're sitting and thinking through something yourself and you feel stuck, it's really difficult to feel unstuck. But when you have somebody else there who can kind of give you a different perspective, I think that that's useful. Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that we prepared for the retreat in advance, I think that was a really smart thing that we did. And I would definitely suggest doing that. You know, this is something that if you're going to get the most out of it, you shouldn't just try to wing it. You really need to try to plan in advance, at least determine what questions you want to ask yourself. And these are not easy questions. They're kind of hard questions. So definitely plan that in advance. And then also, like I said, combining the rest and relaxation and meeting with other colleagues was nice. The way that it worked out with the conference being the same week, that was really handy to be able to meet up with other people. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, including the photo session. I thought that that was genius on your part.
Well,
like I said.
All about multitasking. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot done. It was great. So, yeah what about you?
Yeah, I agree that these were all really, really great points. And as far as multitasking, I feel like it's not necessarily always the best thing, but it worked out well at that time. Now, as far as things we could maybe think about changing next time, I feel like when we first started talking about it, we wanted to have a full day for the actual discussion and planning, you know, and the business part of the retreat. And it ended up being two or 3 hours, which was fine, but I felt like maybe we needed more time to really put some, you know, incorporate other perspectives into it. And mm-hmm. I feel now that so many things have changed, even though it was only 2 months ago. I feel like I really need to sit down and review those things we talked about again, and also mm-hmm. incorporate the personal and family priorities better into the picture, because we're really focused on business stuff.
And
our schedule was quite busy that day, so maybe having a little more time for rest or breaks would be great. But I'm not complaining. We had a great day and we had so much fun. So,
yes. And we did. We got a lot done as well. I really did do a lot of planning. But you're right. We needed more time. It was, I thought the same thing as we were actually working on the retreat part with, you know, the whiteboard and all that. I thought, we need more time than this. Mm-hmm. Because it was kind of in the middle of the day. And that goes back to the peak productivity hours.
Yes.
We kind of needed to book the photographer at the time that she was available.
Yeah.
But since we did the retreat part in the afternoon, I should have known better. That's after lunch. That's like not my peak productivity time.
Yes. Same here.
Right? It's kind of like, I think people get that after lunch lull where they're kind of like, okay, I need another coffee. And I think we had one. But it doesn't, you know, it's not the same. So I think we could have used probably a few hours in the morning and a few hours in the afternoon. So exactly. I would say the next time, definitely we need to do that. Yeah.
And there's like pros and cons to the pictures. I mean, pictures sure. are best taken like either early in the morning or later in the afternoon, maybe closer to the evening. But then if you're a girl, if you think about hair and makeup and getting dressed and all of that, and we had a few outfits, by the way, for the photo session.
To change,
yes. So that worked better in the morning. Like I felt I was better prepared for the photo shoot in the morning for sure than I would have been later in the afternoon. I maybe needed, then I would need maybe an hour just to get ready for that photo shoot. So yeah, but it would have been nice to have more time for the actual planning part of the retreat. But it was still great.
Yeah, and you know what I think was helpful too is that we did plan so much in advance.
Yeah.
That even if we didn't cover every little thing we wanted to, when we got back, we knew exactly what was still pending.
Exactly.
So I think that the pre-planning was maybe just as important as the actual retreat, because it was sort of a reminder like, oh, we need to actually look at some things before we can really plan this out. So, or maybe we need more time to talk about this. So let's like meet again, like through Zoom or something for an hour and just talk about it. So it's not that if you don't make enough time, you can't go back to it. You can always go back to it. So that's something that I was really happy we did, because we had that record of what we wanted to cover, and anything that we didn't fully cover, we could talk about later. So I think that was probably a really, really important aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was a lot of things on our list, you know, and I feel like if we were to do it again, which I hope we will, you know, whether we do it alone or together or with other people in the future, we have this great checklist or list of things we need to go through to plan another retreat. So maybe we should recap on that.
Yeah. So here's a little recap of the ideas we share today that you could implement in your business retreat. And again, if you want to incorporate some personal planning in there too, I think that would be a really smart thing to do. You could use a large square chart and divide it into 9 smaller squares, like Veronica mentioned, something she had seen before, where each square represents a specific area of your business or of your life. You could set goals and expectations for your retreat. You know, what do you want to accomplish while you're there? What kind of goal do you have for the retreat itself? Not just the goals that you expect to create during your retreat, but what do you want the retreat to be for you? Plan long-term for your retreat and budget for it. That's something that's important if you plan to travel for your retreat. Choose a location. Definitely choose a location away from your home office. That's a really important point. It's fine if you just can't get away to do it in your home office, of course, but if you can, just try to get out and change your scenery. A lot of times that gives you more ideas. Set the date ahead of time and make plans to book any reservations that you might need. And then some different things that we did. Those were things we did prior to the retreat, but what you could do during the retreat would be to look at the goals that you have for your retreat and the amount of time that you have and determine how much time you want to dedicate. Like we said, 2 to 3 hours was not enough for us. We should have dedicated more time. So think about how much time you'll need for your retreat and try to plan an agenda in advance. You could rank and rate your clients. That's something that I mentioned that I did to make sure that I was still working with my ideal clients and the people that I want to continue to work with and provide the services that I enjoy providing. You could also look at what would be your vision for next year and make a statement for yourself based on your vision. Review again, like we said, what worked well for you in your business and also what you might want to do differently next year. What didn't work for you at all, maybe something related to time management, productivity, the types of clients you served, the services that you offer, any marketing changes in marketing you might want to do for next year, the type of services you want to focus on next year. So not just what you provide, but maybe something new you'd like to focus on or something you'd like to do more of, and how you can distribute your time better and prioritize those items. And of course, not to be forgotten, make a list of tasks that you don't like, that you don't have time for, that you feel like waste your time, and that you could essentially either outsource, delegate, or cross off your list completely. And something else to keep in mind is, while you're planning, is, you know, what you're going to use during your retreat. Not only, you know, maybe your laptop or some kind of digital tool, could be something like a project management tool online that you use. I know some people like Trello or Asana or something like that. You could use a mind map. If you need to get anything ahead of time, go ahead and purchase it so you could just take it with you and you're not scrambling to find it. Things like post-it notes, a poster board, markers, notepads, pens, all of that. And then determine what your productivity hours will be. We learned that lesson. So determine your productivity hours for your retreat. If you work better in the morning, then maybe you want to do your hardest thinking in the morning and relax in the afternoon. And then, do you want to set a detailed agenda for your retreat? I think that that's something that goes with all of this planning, is that having a fixed list of questions that you can, you know, answer during your retreat will really help to move things along.
That's a great recap. I really think that having a detailed plan for whether it's a whole day or just a few hours, it just keeps you on task and keeps you focused. Because some, as you mentioned, some of these questions are difficult questions, and it right. can be easy to just say, I have to really get this right. But I feel like this is one of the cases where you just have to be done is better than perfect, and it's never going to be perfect anyway. So you just have to keep moving through that schedule and eventually maybe come back and work on some of these things again in a little while. We hope that this episode has given you some new strategies for creating a habit of planning and implementing a business retreat for yourself. If you happen to try it, please share with us. Let us know. Send us an email at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com or leave a comment on our website under the show notes for this episode. And now it's time for a smart habit check-in. This is where we ask each other about a habit we may have committed to in a previous episode and check in with each other on how we're doing or what we might do better. So, Madalena, what habit are you working on that we've previously talked about?
Okay, so I'm actually excited to tell you, and you already know this, but I've committed to reading for pleasure for 30 minutes every day. And this was the topic of episode 5, Smart Habits for Reading More When You're Not Working. And I got some great ideas from our conversation, as well as through some of the comments on our Instagram feed that week. So if you're not following us on Instagram, please do. We have quite a few followers now, and we have listeners now in over 37 countries. And the ideas that we get from all of you are just really helpful, you know, on these topics, of course. Yeah. And I think one listener said that she reads for 30 minutes first thing in the morning. And I love that idea. So I've tried to implement that now for some time. And I've gotten through a few books already pretty quickly. And I don't consider myself a very fast reader. So that's great. Pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
What about you?
So I've been using our weekly exercise and nutrition tracker for the past 2 weeks. I filled it out on Sunday, planning for the week ahead, and just booked my workouts right away. My local gym where I go, they have an app, so I could just put the workout on my schedule and also book it in the app right away. That way I had my workout scheduled for the week, and with my paper tracker, I was more mindful of using my work breaks for stretches and just some quick movement. It was also extremely helpful to have my meals and snacks planned and prepped. And I must say my grocery bill also got much, much less overwhelming when, you know, when you have your meals planned out, you're like, oh, I actually don't need all that food that
it's
I'm usually buying.
It's less expensive too. Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So I'm really excited about how much easier it was to stay on track using that paper tracker.
That's great. Yeah. So I still need to print mine out, but that's something definitely that's on my list to do for the new year, is to use our paper tracker for health and fitness and nutrition. So, okay. I think we have time to fit in one more of our short segments. And this one is called What's on Your Desk. So what item on your desk have you been really happy about lately, Veronica?
So it's kind of a bigger item, but it's on my desk, so I'm going to mention it. I am loving my new desk riser that I bought about a month ago. I have a large L-shaped desk in my office, so I have plenty of space, but I just missed having that option of standing while I work. So I found this perfect desk riser on Amazon that goes on top of my desk, and they come in different sizes. So I had to measure my desk and see if it fit on it. And so this riser turns half of my desk into a stand-up desk. So now I have both. I have a desk where I can sit, and I have a stand-up desk. So that's perfect. It's been really great to have that option, and I've been using it a lot, and I feel much less tired and sore than I normally do when I sit at my desk all day.
Yeah, that's great. And I have a standing desk as well. I love to use mine too. Let's link to your riser in the show notes, because I've seen those, but I don't think the ones I've seen are as nice as the ones you have, the one you have. So
thank you.
I know you showed it to me. Yeah.
Yes.
And so my item that I'm loving on my desk, it's actually on my desk, but I haven't started using it yet. I'm waiting to use it for the beginning of the year, but I plan to start filling it out during the next week or so as this year wraps up. And that is a full focus planner. I am somebody who loves paper planner type, just paper in general, stationery, anything like that. But I do have digital tools that I use, but I find that I think better and more clearly if I can kind of map something out and write it out. So I got this for 2020. It's Michael Hyatt's Full Focus Planner. And we'll link to that, of course, in the show notes. But essentially what this planner is it is sort of a guide for you to keep track of your annual goals on a quarterly basis. So you can like map out what your ideal week looks like. There are daily pages. There's also a weekly preview. And the idea is to focus on certain things and to make sure that you stick to those things. It asks you, what are your key motivators? Then, what actions do you need to take to reach your goal? It's sort of like taking your goal and breaking it down. So it's sort of a tracker, but it goes from big picture to sort of micro tasks. So that's what I'm using. I'll come back and let you know how I like it. But so far, I find that type of style works really well for me.
Yeah, I'm so excited you mentioned it. I got my own too after you told me that you purchased it. So I'm really excited to try it as well. And I like the idea of doing it quarterly. I feel like it's you stay more committed, and it's less overwhelming than trying to come up with like a big annual goal goals for the whole year. So
right, it's sort of like the business retreat idea. Just looking at it, you can look at it more than once a year if you want to. You can do it every 3 months, every 6 months. But I think there's some research that shows that planning 90 days out is really helpful to most
interesting.
People. So I'm excited to try it for a quarter. And again, if you only try it for a quarter, it's not a full commitment. For a full year, it's not a huge commitment.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's it for this week's episode. If you'd like to be notified when our episodes are released, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it. Our newsletter subscribers will receive a checklist that will help them plan and implement their own business retreat based on the tips that we share today. We'll be sending that out on January 7th, so if you'd like to receive it, please sign up for our emails on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com. That being said, we plan to take a short break after the holidays, so our next episode will come out on January 28th, and we'll be talking to you then about how to conquer your to-do list.
Happy holidays to everyone, and talk to you in January.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered a simple strategy that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover on this podcast, please record a quick voice message and email it to us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. and please share the podcast with other translators you know.